Hello again, everyone. Sancho, please. Nam myo ho renge kyo nam myo ho renge kyo nam myo ho renge kyo nam. See some dust or something. There we go. Sorry about that. One thing before we dive into the rest of the closing sutra on the Lotus Sutra, the Threefold Lotus Sutra. There's a word I'm running into in a lot of these translations that's very Western, and it makes me cringe every time I see or read it. And I want to clear the air on this word. I don't think it's the correct word to use. I'm not sure what to replace it with. I have an idea, and I'm going to try to replace it with this other word. But I think it requires some explanation. I think it's, again, an Eastern-Western dissonance. And the word can be, and I think is, especially in the West, potentially very misleading. And the word is repentance. I see it a lot in these translations, and I think it's used as an effort to relate to Western minds, because the Western minds are full of philosophies with the idea of forgiveness and praying for absolution. And everything has a reference, as repentance does, certainly in the West, of being given something, of forgiveness, of permission, anything. That there's an indication in the word repentance that there's something to be received from outside one's own mind, one's own self-perception. And we can get into semantics here and all of that. Suffice it to say, my point is that what is meant in these sutra, in these teachings, by these passages, and I'm not going to use the word because I believe it's just plain wrong. I think it could be easily argued that a fundamental premise of Buddhist practice is to understand the way our karma, our tendencies and conditions, our volition, our will, is completely colored in samsara. This is the condition of samsara, by our cravings, our desires, our functions, our tendencies, our molecular tendencies, our energy tendencies to want to instantiate, to want to be. And therefore, there's an expectation of being and having and ownership and a separation of self and other, the duality, right? I mean, this is a fundamental concept in Buddhism. And this fundamental concept leads to all suffering. Because it's a misperception. It's a misperception to see oneself as separate from everything other. This is a fundamental of Buddhism. That once one can rise one's mental awareness above this cycle of desire and craving and being and owning and having and I-ness, and observe instead all of that as a process, and divorce one's identity from it, or divorce one's from one's identification, then the attendant suffering ceases to affect us. This is the Buddha way. And by working to enlighten others to this fact, label that activity bodhisattva, we become more and more aware of the Buddha mind the Buddha objectification of life as a process of tendencies and conditions, and remove ourselves from it. Okay? So if you understand that fundamentally, then what is there to repent? What it is reflection. It's reflection, and it's only use because past and future really have no real function to our enlightenment, no real function to our observation of the process, except that while in our human samsaric mind, our baser mind of desires and attachments, we hang on to these pasts as some sort of a building block to ourselves now and to ourselves projected into a future. Follow? So reflection, although in the Buddha way, is completely unnecessary, in our samsaric human state mind, we can utilize our reflection, our human mind's reflection, to observe, to go back and reobserve our past behavior, which is now, it's done, right? And we can see the way in which our human desirous attached mind led us by the nose into situations or precipitations of suffering. And by looking at that, we can use that new perception as a tool to help us to recognize the way in which we allow our tendencies and conditions to rule our minds. Another way to look at that, more abstractly, but perhaps more easily understood, and we've talked about this many times, about the monkey mind. The monkey mind is that samsaric human mind of desires, tendencies, conditions, attachments, right? Because monkeys are mindless except for their constant want of attention and satiation of whatever they want at that moment. That's very equatable to our human mind. We add a tremendous amount of complexity and language around it, but it's kind of the way we live our lives. I'm not saying we're monkeys. I'm talking about a condition of our mind. Okay? So if we understand the monkey mind and we look back upon previous events and we see the monkey mind at work, the objective of Buddhism is to say, why let the monkeys run the show? Why not rise above the monkeys? Let the monkeys play as they will. You don't need to annihilate them. What you need to annihilate is their influence and effect on your mind, your awareness, right? When you go to the zoo and you observe the monkeys, you can laugh at them, you can be fascinated with them, you can pity them, but you don't suddenly start running around, flinging your poo, running around the zoo naked and just want to eat, take people's food and act a fool, right? You wouldn't do that because you're in proper perspective. You see the monkeys for what they are, and you can observe them. You can be entertained by them, and you can have compassion for them. But you don't become them. They don't tell you how to run your life. However, in our own life, on our monkey minds, we do let that happen. So it's a dysfunctional state. And Buddhism says, just recognize that. You can look to the past, reflect upon previous actions, and you can see it at work much more easily than you can contemporaneously. But if you can look at it in the past and see it and use it as motivation to enlighten yourself now, so that you become more and more aware of when this happens, you can start to influence it. And instead of the monkeys running the show, you, your Buddha mind, your Bodhisattva state, can quell those monkeys, and you can start to regain control over the show. I mean, that's Buddhism in a nutshell. So repent. What are you repenting? To whom? And what is your expectation? You see how this word is completely misleading? So I'm going to use the word reflect or reflection. And I hope that with this explanation, you'll understand what I mean. And more importantly, what the teaching means for you to do. Because remember, this is all about attaining our Buddha mind while immediately in this human state, while in samsara. Okay? In fact, as I've said before, this is the only place you're going to be able to achieve that Buddha mind, because it's the only place it exists, is in samsara. Probably I'll have to do a whole series on that. Okay, so with that, I may mistakenly, as I read repentance, I'll probably catch it most of the time. But I just want you to be aware, don't be misled by this poor translation or poor use of translation. So a lot of scholarship in here, a lot of great effort went into these English translations, but it's hard. It's hard for Westerners, even Easterners, who are trying to appeal to Westerners, to not fall into these little word traps. But they're significant. That's one of my biggest motivators for my Bodhisattva practice. Language. It's very dangerous. All right. So we left off with what I call the Gojikai ceremony, or the acceptance of the precepts and the tie to Gohanzen, when I was talking about how to practice diligently and never be lazy and all of this exhortation. So we'll continue from there. When this has been said, a follower will see that all the innumerable worlds in the eastern directions, their lands as level as the palm of one's hands, with no hills, burial mounds, or brambles. They will have earth of lapis lazuli with golden cords to mark divisions, so too with the worlds in all directions. Having seen this, a follower will see the jeweled trees that are tall and wonderful, 5,000 leagues high. Here we go with the hyperbole again, right? Again, this is the opening of the eyes. This is the, once one is tied, connected, spiritually, mentally, to this idea of the great vehicle, this idea of disconnection of the monkey mind and the higher observational plane, the Buddha mind, then everything becomes amazing. Everything becomes magnificent. Everything becomes wonder-filled. Because we're no longer manipulated by possession, by otherness. It's all part of us. We are part of it. And it's glorious. Okay? So the amazement of that detachment is what constantly gets repeated in different ways here. Radiating light and so on and so forth. Then a follower showing respect to all these universal sages should say, due to what sin have I only seen earth of jewels, seats of jewels, and jewel trees, but have not seen the Buddhas. Again, sin. It's another misleading word, sin. Sin in this context is an admission of having succumbed to the monkeys. It's not a sin you've committed against other, because there is no other. You see the problem with the language here? It's a sin in that It's an indiscretion. It's a failure to observe the truth. So it's not a sin in the Western concept that you've besmirched another. Okay? Everything in Buddhism is self-reflexive because there is no duality. There is not even a self, but in samsara, there is a self. So this is a mental negotiation with that self to observe that self as a self-created identification. I hope it didn't confuse you there, but think about that. When a follower finishes saying this, sitting on each of the seats of the jewels will be a world-honored one, majestic and wonderful. Having seen the Buddhas, a follower's heart will be full of joy, and he will recite and learn the Great Vehicle Sutras once again. Myoho Renge Kyo. By the power of the Great Vehicle, Myoho Renge Kyo, a voice in the sky will praise him, saying, "Good, good, good son. Due to your blessings from practicing the Great Vehicle, you have seen Buddhas. Though you have now been able to see Buddhas, world-honored ones, you cannot see Shakyamuni Buddha yet, the Buddhas who embody him, or the stupa of abundant treasures Buddha," which we know is embodied in the Gohonzon, right? "After hearing the voice in the sky," in other words, in the mind, "a follower will again vigorously recite and learn the Great Vehicle Sutras." Myoho Renge Kyo, chanting, recite the Lotus Sutra, recite other sutras. Learn the Great Vehicle Sutras. What does he mean by learn? Right? He's not talking about the words. He's not talking about, see, recitation and learning are separated here. That's important, because learning is not recitation. Recitation is not learning. Learning is uncovering the meaning of the words. Once again, it's not the words. There's nothing magical going on here. It's understanding, uncovering the meaning of the hyperbole, the meaning of the stories and the parables and the descriptions, the meaning of what the Buddha is trying to describe, something that cannot be described with words. It can only be experienced. And where can we experience? Only in samsara. Before we are manifest as a human consciousness, and after we leave this human consciousness, there is no experience. Experience happens only here. This is why I keep saying to you, Buddha way, Buddha mind can only be experienced while in this human form. Do you see why Hinayana thinking, Theravada thinking, thinking that, or Amida, Nembutsu, all of these sects that want to put enlightenment off until death? Ugh. They're completely missing it. How utterly tragic. The Buddha land, the Buddha mind, the Buddha state, the Buddha knowledge, the Buddha attitude, the Buddha whatever you want to call it, exists only here and now in our human mind. And constantly, the teachings keep bringing us back to this, and folks just, I don't know, they just keep missing it. I don't understand. Because followers receive and recite and learn the sutras of the Great Vehicle, the expansive teaching, even in dreams, they will see Shakyamuni Buddha with the great assembly on Holy Eagle Peak, teaching the Myoho Renge Kyo and demonstrating the principle of one truth. After hearing this teaching and reflecting and yearning, one will want to see the Buddha. Then a follower should put his palms together and, kneeling in the direction of Holy Eagle Peak, Guhunzan, should say, "The Tathagata, the world's hero, is always in this world. Out of compassion for me," says Pity, "out of compassion for me, please reveal yourself to me." Who are you talking to? See, again, this is written in the form of a prayer. It's not. "Please reveal yourself to me" is me talking to me. Is me saying, "Monkeys, please be quiet. Let me hear and see the truth. Let me hear and see objectively. Calm yourself, monkeys. Calm yourself, monkey mind. Let me row the boat." After saying this, a follower will see Holy Eagle Peak adorned with the seven precious materials. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. And with countless monks, sharvakas, and a great assembly, lined with jeweled trees, its ground of jewels level and even, it will even have a wonderful lion seat of jewels with Shakyamuni Buddha on it, sending out a ray of light from between his eyebrows, illuminating all the worlds in the ten directions and passing through all the innumerable worlds in the ten directions. The Buddha is embodying Shakyamuni's Buddha in all directions, where this ray reaches will assemble like a cloud and teach the wonderful Dharma everywhere in accord with the wonderful Dharma Flower Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. Each of these embodiment Buddhas having a body of pure gold, purple gold, has an unlimited body, sits on a lion's seat that has countless hundreds of millions of great bodhisattvas in his retinue. The practice of each of these bodhisattvas is the same as that of universal sage or universal virtue. Accordingly, in the ten directions, it is the same. In the retinues of countless bodhisattvas, Buddhas, here we go with the hyperbole again, right? And suffice it to say that even if you just glimpse at this state of mind, the wonder and the depth of sensation, experience, it's unfathomable. Humbling. This is interesting language now. Having the ability to penetrate clearly into previous states of existence, they will see their own form of bodies with complete clarity, exactly as if they had the ability to see into the past. Attaining a sudden and great awakening, followers will acquire the revolving incantation and teachings about billions and billions of other incantations. Rising from concentration, they will see before them all the embodied Buddhas sitting on lion seats under jewel trees. They will also be ground of lapis lazuli, with bunches of lotus flowers springing up from the sky below the earth. Springing up from the sky below the earth. Do you see how he visually paints this hyperbole of enlightenment, awakening? In the spaces between the flowers, bodhisattvas as numerous as the grains of sands of the Ganges will be sitting cross-legged there. Assemblies praising the great field. Then one voice from different mouths, the bodhisattvas and followers purify their six sense organs. So this is something that happens in concentration, in meditation, is these realizations will have these effects on your human existence, your human mind, your monkeys. One will say, "You should reflect on the Buddha." There's the word. "You should reflect on the Dharma. You should reflect on the monastic community. You should reflect on morality. You should reflect on generosity. You should reflect on the heavens. So all of this is about when the monkey's mind is subdued, what is there for you to do? It's kind of a conundrum if you think about it. If I can release myself from all of these influences, these tendencies and conditions, this karma that I identify myself with as other, if I can surmount that great engine of being, equate suffering, if I can surmount this, then what do? Right? This is the great conundrum of those who say, well, Buddhahood can only be achieved after death, because then what would you do? Well, here, I'm telling you. What you would do is you would, ipso facto, you would purify those monkeys. You would utilize those monkeys to cleanse your human behavior in order that you can be a bodhisattva to lead others to this realization. This is, again, the bodhisattva practice. This is why we're here. This is what the great question, who am I? Buddha. Why am I here? Bodhisattva. And it starts with purification of the six sense organs. There are six consciousnesses: vision consciousness, oral consciousness, taste consciousness, touch consciousness, right? All the consciousnesses. Reflect on the Buddha, the highest mental consciousness. Reflect on the Dharma, the way of realization. Not just the teachings, but the understanding of the meaning of the teachings. That's the Dharma. Not just the teachings, but the way to understanding what the teachings are teaching. It's a methodology. Reflect on the monastic community. In other words, monks, others who practice. Reflect on the effort that not you alone, again, duality, are participating in. You're conjoined. Reflect on morality. As I say, always affirm the preciousness of life. Any behavior that does not affirm the preciousness of life, respect others' struggles with that, then it's not Buddhist, it's not Bodhisattva, it's not appropriate. It's a monkey that needs to be tamed. Reflect on generosity. Because from the Buddha mind perspective, there is no ownership. There is just this fabulosity of everything in a very temporary experience. So there's no need for hanging on to anything. And generosity really is about sharing. And what's the most important thing to share? The fact that there's nothing to share other than the Buddha mind. Share that there is nothing to share. Share that the joy, love, whatever, I don't know what word the Buddha, the mind state, the release of the monkey mind. Be generous with that. Share it, bring others to it, so that they can experience this expansive, huge experience that all these words are meant to describe in some way to get the human mind to visualize this amazing release. Reflect on the heavens. What are the heavens? Their heavens are the capsule in which we instantiate our human existence. It's all the same experience. It's not separate. It's not other. You guys know what I just did. These six methods express an aspiration to become a Buddha. They give birth to bodhisattvas. This is what I just said. Before the Buddhas, you should now confess your past your past sins and sincerely repent. Oh, God, how Christian is that? Or Muslim, or Jewish, or what is this preoccupation with sin and repentance? This is horrible language. Okay? You should now confess your attachments to the monkey mind and reflect on how misleading that monkey mind has led your life. How much suffering you've allowed yourself to subject yourself to as a reminder to stay the path. Because this is about commitment. This is about staying determined to remain in this observational Buddha mind and be a bodhisattva to help others realize that all their suffering and the suffering they cause others and the sufferings that others cause them is all monkey mind baloney, that it's immaterial, that it's experienced as real because we choose to experience it as real. It's reflection. In innumerable previous lives, because of your eyes, you have been greedily attached to material forms. Here we go. Because of your attachments to such forms, you greedily desire the dust of the passions. Because of your desire for the dust of the passions, you receive a woman's body. Living in age after age, you are deluded by and attached to forms. Forms harm your eyes, and you become a slave to desire. This is why forms cause you to wander in the threefold world. This makes you so blind, you can see nothing at all. Isn't that what I've been saying? In other words, you have now recited the sutras of the great vehicle, the expansive teaching. In these sutras, the Buddha of all directions teach that their forms and bodies do not become extinct. You have now seen them and you can judge whether this is true or not. Your no good eyes do a lot of damage to you. Following what we say, you should faithfully return to the Buddhas and to Shakyamuni Buddha. Tell them of your monkey mind and errors due to your eyes, your monkey mind, and say, may I be cleansed and purified by the Dharma water of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the wisdom eyes. Having spoken in this way, a follower should show respect to the Buddhas in all directions, turning to Shakyamuni Buddha and Great Vehicle Sutras. Again, one should say, I now reflect for the heavy misleading karma tendencies and conditions of my monkey mind. My eyes are such an obstacle and are so tainted that I am blind and can see nothing at all. With your great kindness, may the Buddha have mercy on me and protect me. Again, this implies another. But it's not. It's a plea to your own mental capability, your own mental capacity. Remove yourself from this habit. Remove yourself from this monkey mind, this tendencies and condition. Be greater than. Cleanse these things that clutter my mind. You're talking to yourself. This is a mental exercise. Universal sage bodhisattva, accompanied by countless bodhisattvas from all directions, rides the ship of the great Dharma, the ship that carries all beings to the other side. The other side, not another place, but another side of yourself. Like your front and your back. You know your back is there, even though you don't see it. Your Buddha nature, your Buddha mind, your Buddha is there also, just like your back. It's not separate. If anyone invokes the name of Buddha, burns incense, strews flowers, displays the spirit of the great vehicle, hangs paintings, flags, or canopies, speaks of the errors and afflictions of their eyes, and reflects on their misguided karma, such a person will see Shakyamuni Buddha in the present world, the Buddhas embodying him, or countless other Buddhas, and not fall into the evil paths of countless eons. The evil paths, right? The six lower worlds, right? Or the three lower worlds, or whatever division you like. But go and reference the 10 worlds again. Read those. Those are conditions of the mind. And they refer to the monkey mind. Thanks to the power of the great vehicle and to the great vehicle vow, such a person, together with all the incantation bodhisattvas, will become a follower. Anyone who reflects in this way thinks correctly. Anyone who reflects otherwise has said to have wrong thoughts. This is called the mark of the first stage of purification of the eyes. So that's just one of the consciousnesses, right? Having finished purifying their eyes, followers should continue to read and recite the Great Vehicle Sutras, kneeling on the right knee and reflecting six times day and night. They should say, why can I only see Shakyamuni Buddha and the Buddhas who embody him, but not the stupa or remaining whole body of the Abundant Treasures Buddha? The stupa of Abundant Treasures Buddha is always living, never extinct. My eyes are polluted by evil. This is why I cannot see the stupa. Having said this, followers should continue reflecting, and after 7 days, the stupa of Abundant Treasures Buddha will spring out of the earth. With his right hand, Shakyamuni Buddha will open the door of the stupa, where Abundant Treasures Buddha will be seen deep in the concentration of universal manifestation of bodily forms. From all the pores of his body, he will emit rays of light as numerous as the grains of sand of the Ganges, and each of the rays will be hundreds of thousands of billions of transformed Buddhas. On and on and on. Here we go again. This is the practice. The practice awakens in stages. It awakens what? It awakens our human samsaric mind. As our human samsaric mind slowly begins to crumble away, move away the monkeys, it's like breaking through a great wall. We see this blue sky of wonder and beauty on the other side. Each of our component skandhas, our component consciousnesses, need to be cleansed, need to be gradually taken apart so that we can surmount their habitual tendencies in this condition called samsara. Okay, so that's basically what this closing chapter does. It's going to go through each and every one the character of all things. One should say praise to the Shakyamuni Buddha, praise to the Stupa Abundant Treasures, so on and so forth, offerings to them. During the innumerable eons of my previous lives, I craved aromas, tastes, and feelings. Aromas, tastes, and feelings. These are the other consciousnesses, right? Smell, taste, feelings, emotions, touch, right? So we're just taking apart all those consciousnesses. We're going backwards. We're deconstructing our human karmic manifestation through our constant practice. And purification means simply that we quell the freight train of monkeys and we become observers rather than influenced and sucked into them, which creates a great deal of compassion, not only for recognizing our own entrapment in this condition, but also for the opportunity that this entrapment gives us to realize our Buddha nature. What an amazing thing. This is where the scholarship, Nagarjuna and others have pointed out that, and Shakyamuni Buddha pointed out that this very monkey train that we're on, this very tendencies, this karmic existence in samsara is enlightenment itself. Because without it, we could not experience it. Remember, experience is something that can only happen in samsara. It's a really wonderful conundrum of sorts that one cannot attain Buddha way without first being instantiated into this illusory samsaric condition. And that surmounting this samsaric condition is the way to realize Buddhahood. So in the final analysis, isn't it simple to say that Buddhism, the goal of Buddhism, the whole of Buddhism, as it began, is a method to relieve ourselves of suffering, or put another way, to live life exceedingly well. Do you see how earthly, pragmatic Buddhism actually is? It's not about another life, place, anything. It's not about other at all. It's about getting rid of that idea of duality, that idea of other, and realizing that right here and now is everything. That all you have to do is change your perspective. And that everything you experience is magnificent. It's glorious. If you allow yourself to experience it in the Buddha way. And when you struggle, be a bodhisattva, and you will re-engage your Buddha way. Otherwise, what do? You fall into the six evil paths. You fall into suffering. You fall into the monkeys. You fall into the influences of your tendencies and conditions, and you let the monkeys row the boat. It's that simple. If you have evil in your eyes, impure with hindrances from actions in the past, you should recite the Great Vehicle and reflect on its first principle. This is called eye reflection. It exhausts past bad actions. When the ears hear noise, the principle of harmony is upset. This produces craziness, like that of a foolish monkey. You should recite the Great Vehicle and meditate on the emptiness and formlessness of things, to exhaust all evils for a long time, and hear sounds from all directions with heavenly ears. The nose is attached to the sense. In accord with its contamination, contacts occur. In this way, the deluded nose, in accord with its contamination, gives birth to all kinds of entanglements. If you recite the Great Vehicle Sutras and meditate on the reality of things, you will long be free from evil actions done in the past and not do them in future lives. The tongue causes five kinds of bad consequences from harsh words spoken in the past. If you want to control it yourself, you should make an effort to practice compassion. Think of the meaning of the true quiescence of things and not conceive by making distinctions. The mind is like a monkey, never resting for a moment. If you want to subdue it, you should make an effort to recite the Great Vehicle, keeping in mind the Buddha's great awakened body, his power, and his freedom from fear. The body, master of its organs, dances freely among these six harmful faculties without obstacle, like dust swirling in the wind. If you want to be rid of these evils long separated from dirt and trouble, ever in the comfort of nirvana, and at ease with calm heart, you should recite the Great Vehicle Sutras and keep in mind the mother of bodhisattvas. Innumerable excellent skillful means will be obtained by reflecting on the true nature of things. These so-called six methods purify the six sense organs. The whole ocean of hindrances from past actions arise from illusion. If you want to repent, reflect, you should sit upright and reflect on the true nature of things. All sins are like frost and dew. The sun of wisdom can dissipate them. For this reason, with all your heart, you should reflect of the six senses. Well, that's 45 minutes. There's more, but I think that's a good stopping point. This is what we do when we chant to Kuan-Zun. We purify our senses, so that we can see above the cacophony of our monkey minds to perceive the incredible, precious opportunity of experience we have in this life. This is Buddhism. Thank you for joining me on this path. I will have a part three to close all of this with, and that will terminate, at least for this series, the Lotus Lectures, the discussion on the Threefold Lotus Sutra. We're not there yet. One more video. Thank you for joining me. It's Susanshu. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo Namu Myoho Renge Kyo Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. If you can, please go to my Patreon at patreon.com/TLK, Threefold Lotus Plume, and make a small donation, a large donation, whatever you can. Help me continue making these videos, and let's work together to be bodhisattvas and bring this teaching more accessible to more people, and let's change the direction of this planet right now. Way too much suffering in the world today. It needs to end, and we can do it. So thank you. Thank you for joining me. Take care.